KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, co-presenting Mayrig with Art of Elan on January 29th at The Loft. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, January 6th. A local lawmaker weighs in on the U.S. attack on Venezuela. That next, but first, the headlines. The OB Rag reports that this past Saturday, hundreds of San Diegans gathered in front of the county administration building downtown. The gathering was to protest recent U.S. military intervention in Venezuela, which resulted in the capture of Venezuela's president and first lady. Organizers say the San Diego protest was one of more than 100 other anti-war protests across the country. ABC 10 says signs like "End Endless Wars" were seen in the crowd. January is National Blood Donor Month, which has been going on since 1970. The American Red Cross yesterday said it is teetering on a blood shortage this winter. You can donate out of the goodness of your heart or to potentially get a limited edition t-shirt. If you donate at a San Diego Blood Bank Donor Center or mobile blood drive through January 25th, you will receive a t-shirt while supplies last, of course. Officials say 1 in 7 patients entering a hospital are in need of a blood transfusion, equating to someone needing blood every 2 seconds in the U.S. As first reported by the Union Tribune, 2 dining spots in San Diego have landed on Rob Report's 21 Most Beautiful Restaurants in America for 2025. Lie Low in Carlsbad and Lucien in La Jolla both made the top 10. According to the UT, Lie Low was transformed from a boogie board factory into a 22-seat tasting menu restaurant. A digital editor for Rob Report highlights its seamless indoor-outdoor experience. Lucien, on the other hand, features a 12-course tasting menu with a, quote, show-stopping outdoor garden bar. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
KPBS is following local lawmaker reaction to the U.S. attack on Venezuela and the arrest of President Nicolas Maduro. Democratic Congressman Scott Peters sat down with KPBS Midday Edition host Jade Heinemann. He explained his opposition to the recent military intervention. Here's that conversation.
So listen, on Saturday, you released a statement saying you were deeply alarmed by the U.S. actions in Venezuela. Tell us more about your reaction.
Well, first of all, no one's going to shed any tears for Nicolas Maduro, who's a repressive dictator. He's illegitimate leader. And, we're not sorry to see something like bringing him to justice come about. But the problem is that there are always costs to these things that come afterwards. So while this may be very popular in the moment in Venezuela and among Venezuelans in America, we've seen this movie before. We've seen, taking on small countries, whether it's Vietnam or Afghanistan or Iraq, and we deposed Saddam Hussein. That was very popular at the time. But what it led to was 2 decades of war. It led to trillions of dollars of American taxpayer money out the door, and we lost thousands of lives. And that's the thing that concerns me here.
Mm-hmm. Leading up to this, the Trump administration had been bombing boats out there in the Caribbean, off the coast of Venezuela as well. In hindsight, what are your thoughts on that military action and then leading up to what's happened this past weekend?
It's a violation of international law. It's pretty clear to me it's murder. We without any evidence, without any process, we're just killing people on the open seas. That doesn't sound American to me. We want to be a beacon to other countries of democracy, of the rule of law, of doing the right thing. And this is a real setback for us, Jade. I'm really, really concerned about the damage this is doing to us reputationally, about what when we need friends in the future, whether we're going to be able to call on them, because we're losing friends and we're making enemies. It's not a strategy for peace.
Given that we are in this situation, do you have any information on the role the U.S. military might be asked to play going forward?
I do know that, unlike in Ukraine, the president says he's got no problem with boots on the ground. Again, we've seen this before. We saw this in Vietnam. We thought that was going to be a weak opponent. Afghanistan, Iraq, we end up dedicating a lot of resources and a lot of lives. And in San Diego, we know what that means. We're a military town. We know the cost of these conflicts to our people and to their families. And we don't take these kinds of things lightly. Meanwhile, this government is not—it's not America first. We're making Venezuela great again. If we're paying any attention to Venezuela, this is not about America. And all the things we should be focused on here in Washington, D.C., preserving health care, dealing with these tariffs, dealing with appropriate immigration policy—that's all pushed aside now because we've decided to go attack Venezuela, a country that's not even in our weight class. It's horrifying and embarrassing, and I just can't imagine the confidence that's been lost around the rest of the world in the United States of America.
How do you expect Congress to respond as it returns to work this week?
Well, I think we are owed, as the American people are owed, an explanation of why this action was taken, what the objectives are, and what the plan is going forward, which I don't think we've seen. And that's job one, is to get that information. And then, going forward, we have the power of the purse. We'll need some Republicans to help us to say, no, the power to declare war, if this is a war, is a power of Congress. So we can rein this in. We can't do it as just Democrats. But I know some Republicans might be concerned about this as well, and we'll need their partnership to reassert our constitutional role under the founders' intent. And to make sure that we're together forming a foreign policy that's in the interest of the safety and security of the United States.
That was Representative Scott Peters speaking with Midday Edition host Jade Hindman. Another local congressman, Republican Daryl Issa, offered a very different take over the weekend. Issa said in a post on social media that the Trump administration has his, quote, full support. Last month, almost every member of the U.S. military received a one-time payment of $1,776. President Donald Trump called it a warrior dividend funded by tariffs. Military reporter Andrew Dyer says the money was in fact allocated to the troops by Congress to subsidize the high cost of rent in places like San Diego.
The so-called Big Beautiful Bill provisioned $2.9 billion to the Pentagon to, quote, supplement the basic allowance for housing some service members receive.
No one is against bonuses or better pay for service members.
Janessa Golbeck is the CEO of the Vet Voice Foundation, a nonprofit that helps veterans get involved in policymaking. Basic allowance for housing, or BAH, is a monthly payment to service members approved to live in private housing. A lot of people in the military don't receive it.
So this one-time cash payment is actually a great deal for them. But for the E5 sergeant living out in town who is struggling to pay rent, they are no longer able to see that adjustment because these funds have been reallocated in one flat way.
Separate from the $1,776, service members are getting a 3.8% pay raise this year and an average BAH bump of 4.6%. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
Federal immigration authorities have missed a deadline to release more information about the death of a Chinese immigrant in their custody. Reporter Corey Suzuki says the delay comes as more immigrants are dying in federal detention.
When a person dies in ICE custody, the agency has 90 days to publish a report about what happened. That deadline was established by Congress in 2018, during the first Trump administration. The person in this case was Huabing Xia, an immigrant from China. ICE says Xia had a seizure at the Imperial Regional Detention Facility in Calexico and died on September 29th, Last week, ICE missed their deadline to release more information about what happened. The agency has not responded to multiple requests for comment.
It is a pretty chilling that they can't even meet these deadlines.
Jesse Franzblau is with the National Immigrant Justice Center. He says that delay is keeping crucial information from reaching members of Congress and local officials who could choose to investigate further.
Particularly as they are simultaneously expanding the detention system to far larger than we have ever seen.
Marina Arteaga is with the Imperial Liberation Collaborative. She's calling for state and county health officials to investigate Chia's death. Arteaga says it's becoming a pattern for ICE to violate its own rules and policies.
This is just going to repeat itself again, and we're going to have this conversation again.
The missed deadline came in the final days of 2025, one of the deadliest years on record for immigrants detained by the U.S. government. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
In San Diego County, more than 850,000 people rely on Medi-Cal. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says starting this year, some Medi-Cal patients may notice changes when picking up prescriptions or over-the-counter items at the pharmacy.
Several medications and over-the-counter products now require doctor approval. At-home COVID-19 tests now need prior authorization. For children under 21, tests may still be covered with a pediatric prescription. Adult combination multivitamins are no longer covered. Single vitamins and dry eye drops may now need a doctor's approval before Medi-Cal will pay for them. For allergy medications, Medi-Cal now covers generic versions only. Popular weight loss medications, including GLP-1 drugs like Wegovy, are no longer covered when prescribed solely for weight loss. State health officials say the changes help control rising drug costs, but research shows prior authorization requirements can also mean longer waits at the pharmacy, delayed care, and higher out-of-pocket costs for patients. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
There's another legal challenge for the Harmony Grove Village South development in North County. Reporter Alexander Wen says a new lawsuit claims the project does not meet newer, stricter state fire safety standards.
With the bird chirping in Verdon Hills, the scene is very serene and pastoral. But that is what worries J.B. Thabej with the Elfin Forest Harmony Grove Town Council.
Come summer, it dries out. September, October, all that becomes tinder.
He's especially worried because the county recently approved a 453-unit housing development here called Harmony Grove Village South. He says the project is located in a very high fire hazard severity zone.
Every decade, there's been a fire, a major fire that's destroyed homes.
The town council is suing because of those fire concerns. The suit says the county used outdated information when approving the project in October. The county declined to comment because of the active litigation. This is the second lawsuit against the development. The Sierra Club sued in October, citing environmental concerns. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I really want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting the new 2025 Camry with refined design and performance. Visit your local Toyota dealer to learn more about all the features the new 2025 Camry offers. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.